This is a recording with Reverend To Siang Hui, Ascension number 002007, Real 3. Yeah, we're talking about the ATAP.
So this ATAP house became the parsonage. It's a parsonage, but it also became the church meeting place. And his congregation was not big. We had about 20-odd people, mostly Teochew and live in Aokang, and rather poor people, not very well off. So we worship in this church under grandfather's tutelage. And he was there for 9 or 10 years, until 1937, I think. We disintegrated. So we had a wonderful time staying in this ATAP house. That was the wonderful upbringing, because we stayed in Singapore to study and go home only during holidays. My grandfather was a real wonderful teacher.
And what was the cause of the disintegration then?
Well, first of all, my father and grandfather would flare up, so they are not happy. My grandfather is very thrifty, but my father is very lavish. Very lavish.
But was your father not then back in Sinai?
Yeah, I'm referring to the days in Sinai.
Oh, right.
So because of the disintegration, the clash, my grandfather also left Sinai and came to Singapore to be pastor. That's how the Lord worked out in our training, you see. Mm-hmm. So we had a very wonderful place for spiritual growth. Mm-hmm. And for studying in the good schools. My sister went to MGS. Mm-hmm. And then we had two aunts. The youngest aunt went to MGS and CEZMS. Mm-hmm. There was a Zinana, you know, CEZMS, Anglican. Mm-hmm. So the two aunts, they went to the CEZMS school. And then my youngest aunt became a nurse. And all staying there, in the same place.
Right. What about adaptation to Singapore's life compared to...
Oh, we are very happy. We live in the ATAP house, there's no electric light, so we have got to use this kerosene lamp. Mm-hmm. And I'm the one who takes care of the lamp, so. And then we have a big well down the steps. We children have to carry the water to the kitchen. Mm-hmm. There's no water system. Mm-hmm. We have to carry water and put it in jugs. And our kitchen is there at the back. My aunts will cook, but we children will carry the water. And I'm manager of the conservancy system. And I'm not afraid of all this manure. I'm used to it, not afraid. And we have a lot of bananas. So I bury them from plot to plot. We got the biggest bananas because they get all the riches. Mm-hmm. That's my job.
That's right.
That's my job.
Yeah. So, shuttling between Singapore and Johor, how do you adjust to that?
Well, whenever vacation comes, we happily go back to see our parents. Mm. The only thing I don't like is I get beating because I didn't become first. Well, second only kena beating. My father. You must be first.
Right.
Of course, I'm mostly first. Once in a while, maybe second. Mm. And I get a whacking. Uh-huh. But anyway, life was very happy because of Christian love and hymns. And when I go home, we go to church. We are very obedient. And that religious upbringing was very good for us. Mm.
You actually stay within the grounds of the church itself.
Yeah. That's right. So we take care of the church too. We sweep the church and keep it clean and all that.
Mm-hmm. Right. Let's talk a little bit about your education. Your schooling years at Anglo-Chinese School. When did you join ACS?
I think 19, I joined the afternoon school first.
You came in 1926?
And 27, I think 27, I got into the afternoon school, and maybe 28, I get into the morning school. Mm-hmm. I had a waiting list.
Was that at Coleman Street.
Coleman Street.
Right, where my office is now.
Oh.
The National Archives of Singapore.
Oh.
Right. Teachers and classmates, any recollection of them?
Yes.
And their influence on you, can you share with us?
Yes, I think we had a tremendously good education, and the teachers are very dedicated. Some are pastors, and they also taught. And I graduated in 1937, and I can still remember Goh Keng Swee. He was 2 years before me. Lim Kim San, I think, also 2 years before me. Yeah. These are the big names. And Hinch was a principal. Very, very powerful, very good, strict. So we had very good results. And then as to the teachers, we come to the secondary school, Jiu Kia Song, Teo Chan Bi, C.B. Woodford, and there's one Mr. Dempsey, B.A., he taught us English, and even Bishop Amstutz, Reverend Amstutz, he also would teach us whenever there's a lack of teachers. So, on the whole, we had very good training.
Was there any role model for you in ACS?
Well, I think I admired Teo Chan Bi quite a bit. He taught us really good English. I still remember that.
Right. What about any classmates that you get along well with?
Yes, I have some classmates I get along with, but I don't think they are well known in this age.
Right. So what happened after ACS? What did you do?
So after ACS, I did not know what to do. And my sister was in the medical studies. He was 3 years ahead of me. And then I didn't want to take medicine. And then somehow I chose science, right? The art stream. And that's where I landed up in Raffles College taking science. And that was my first failure, great failure.
Was there any particular reason why you choose to read science?
Just to be vainglorious, not having any objective. I was not sure what I was doing, no. But just to be say that I've gone through university and I get a degree, that's all. That's all I wanted.
Right.
And I forgot about the consecration to go into full-time. So no, I forgot already by that time.
Did your mom remind you of...
My mom sort of left it to me, you are big already. And so she did not say much. She did not say much.
Right. Your relationship with your siblings, how would you describe it?
Oh, very, very, very close. We love one another very closely because we went through the slum.
You know, the
1930s? Yeah, 1929-30.
Right, the Great Depression.
The Great Depression.
How did it affect you?
That it was very, very poor because we eat only bubur and we are always hungry. We always think of nice food like Cold Storage. Stand outside and smell the smoked ham. Beautiful, but so hungry. But anyway, it's good because it deepen character, that we know what it is to be poor and what it is to be in hard circumstances, and that's good.
Actually, that leads me to another question, and that is like your earlier years in Canton. I believe you have quite a good number of years in China. Your family was fairly well known.
Well, in
good status
in China. We're in good standing.
Right.
In a good standing.
Is it not true that when you came to Singapore, things changed? It didn't get better, but it got worse.
We were too young to understand that.
Right.
We are too young to we got our parents take care of us and whatever, and then we get good education also, and we were quite happy.
But how did the Great Depression impact your family?
When the Great Depression came, my father did not practice. When he came to Singapore, he is China trained. He cannot. So he has to rely on the rubber estate. But you tap your rubber, that is not even able to pay the coolies. Mm. So actually many estates stop tapping because you cannot make any profit. Mm-hmm. So what? How do you subsist? My father has to keep on borrowing money from people. Mm. And I feel always so sad. No? Mm-hmm. I go out with him and he'll be seeing another friend, you know, and borrow another sum of money and then go and borrow. Otherwise, you cannot subsist. So that make a very dampening impression on me. Mm. How sad it is.
Were you not studying then?
I studied.
You were in Raffles College?
No. That was
earlier.
Much later.
When did you go into Raffles College?
1938. Mm. But this was 1929, 1930. Mm. These were the early days. Mm. And so we... And my younger brother, Xiang Yu, he's a doctor in Penang, but he's died already. Mm-hmm. He died about 3 years. Mm-hmm. He had to stop schooling because the school fees were $2.50. Mm-hmm. $2.50 is a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And he was going to Malayan Seminary because we're living in Upper Serangoon. For him to go to school, it's just half a mile away, just walk only. Mm-hmm. But one day, we had no money, so my father stopped him from schooling. Mm-hmm. So when we heard that he had to stop school, we all cried. we children all wept mm-hmm. for him. Mm-hmm. And he, after 2 or 3 months, then he got reinstated. Mm-hmm. But that is how it impacted us.
Right. And you got to stay in school.
Of course, I must stay in school. But then he was an odd one. Mm-hmm. So my father said, better let him stop for a while. Mm-hmm. So, and Xiang Hua also starting school. He went to McNair, Towner Road, mm-hmm. government school first. Then later on, I put him into ACS.
Mm-hmm. Right. Was getting into ACS difficult then?
Quite difficult.
And how did
the reason being I was China born. Mm-hmm. China born will have to just stand and wait, you see. Mm-hmm.
And how did you manage to get entry into ACS?
Well, somehow my mother knocked very hard. Somehow my mother was very insistent. Right. And so somehow I got in through my mother. Mm-hmm. She must have used all her powers to get people to speak to the principal, all that. Finally, I got in.
Mm-hmm. And in Raffles College, how did you feel when, compared to those days in ACS, you're doing much worse?
Well, it was a misery trip every day. So sad and so unhappy that every week I've got to do 40 sums, high mathematics, which I didn't like to do. Mm-hmm. And that was killing. Going to school is just like going to prison. Mm-hmm. But you see, the Lord was grinding me. I was out of His will. Mm-hmm. My grandfather gave me to the Lord, my mother, I myself, John Sung meetings. Of course, until I got married and then the baby girl died. And then at that point, I wanted to go to London when my father's going to give me $4,000. So the third great turning point came in 1946. Mm. My turning point was when I was born, given. 1935, John Sung. Then 1946, the death of the baby. Mm. Then I capitulated.
Let's talk about 1935 John Sung revival. How did it have an impact on you?
Well, it is so deep that I can feel it to this day. Mm. I never heard of the message that a man must be born again. Mm. So when I was confronted, I am not born again, so I'm not saved. Mm. So I had to receive the Lord after 2 sermons. Mm-hmm. The second sermon, then, are you born again? I was not, so I put up my hand.
What was the mood like in Singapore
it was,
then?
It was overbearing, it's overpowering. You come to the meeting, you don't argue. You can feel a sense of God's presence. That you cannot argue with God. You're a sinner, you're a sinner. You have stolen things, you have been evil, you've been bad. Everybody accepts. Mm. So we just confess our sins and receive Him. And then there was a great praises and great dedications and great this. But then you see, I was good for only 3 years. Mm. After that, I began to drift.
Now, Reverend Toh, tell me, after 1935, Zhang Song's revival, what impact did it have in the history of the Singapore churches?
Well, the church was very revived, and they are the main churches, Presbyterian, Methodist, Presbyterian, partly Anglican, partly Baptist, but not the Brethren churches.
Why not?
This is Bethesda. I don't know. They were out, and also modernist churches, Methodist, the liberal, they don't care. But the Chinese church, it's a Chinese church that got revived.
And what were the effects on the present church today since the revival?
Well, I think the result can be seen particularly in the BP movement, because Reverend Kwek Kyok Chiang, myself, and my brother, we are the three who have survived the revival, and we have been serving even from nearly 50 years ago. So that revival fire burns in us, and the evangelistic drive is also in us, which has given great impetus to the BP movement, particularly. And there are others who were greatly blessed, like Elder Peter Yap. He was an interpreter for Billy Graham in 1978. He is another one of the Zhang Song followers. Such people, they are the real the power that leads the churches.
Right, right. You mentioned Raffles College. What happened after you finished Raffles College?
I was there only 3 months. First term I failed already. Yeah. I ran away.
And what happened after that? You went to the courts.
Then I went to be trained as an interpreter, 1.5 years.
Can you tell me about the courses that you attended then?
We have to study English, phonetics. That's why I'm teaching phonetics, because I studied there. And Chinese, and one dialect.
Where did you study?
Apart from your mother tongue. So I passed my Cantonese. Tomorrow you'll see me officiate, and I'll be preaching in Cantonese. I can do it.
Where do you study your languages?
We study the dialect, Cantonese, under a Cantonese teacher, Chan Xin Zhang. He's an opium smoker, but anyway, he's all of the classical, you know, and old classics. So we study Cantonese through him. English, we have Mrs. Harper. He's a teacher of the Fairfield Girls' School, but she is trained us in phonetics. So we're thoroughly ground to pronounce correctly. And then the rest is up to you. Chinese and English is up to you. Self-study.
Was it not in a private school that you attended?
No, it's a government school. Government training class, we have an English teacher, and we've got a Cantonese teacher. These are the two given to us.
What's so special about this school that has got a mixture of English and Cantonese?
It's a government school, training scheme.
Do you remember the name of the school?
No, we have no name. It is just simply in the Chinese Secretariat building. You know the Chinese Secretariat?
Whereabout?
It's near the courts, the small courts.
Right.
That old building is still there. It's preserved. And we have our classes inside there. And the teacher will come every afternoon to train us in a speech. And in the morning, we have a Cantonese teacher who teaches us our dialect, how to pronounce. And we have got to go through all the lessons.
Right. Now, Reverend, I'm not going to cover during the war years, because you have already been interviewed on the Japanese occupation. So let's pick up after the Japanese occupation. What exactly happened when the British came back?
Yeah, that is where I wanted to go to England. And the British came back. I went back as an interpreter, serving the same. And then I began to apply for my admission. I got admitted to London U and Middle Temple. And then
the turning point in 1946.
And then the turning point came. The turning point came, and with the death of my baby daughter, I decided now to go to China. Mm. And then I had this Dr. Marcus Chen in Chungking Seminary. Mm. And I was going to Chungking.
Mm. Why did you choose to go to China and not elsewhere?
I don't know. That is the only road open to me. Chin Yen Bible School, where I found my wife. Mm. And that was, I got married before the war, no? And now after the war, I've got three children. And then one, this Lilin, this seven-month-old baby girl, died. Mm. They asked me why I want to go to China, because that's the only opening to me.
Mm-hmm. What was your family's reaction to the news that you were going to?
Oh, my father was a wholly submissive. He said, "This is the will of the Lord." Mm-hmm. My brother was submissive. He knew that's the will of the Lord. My sister helped me, gave me some money, and they all agree that that's the will of the Lord.
What about Nancy?
Oh, she was submissive. All together agreed. So I had 14 packs of luggage. Sadly, I said goodbye to my sister at the steps of Boat Quay, you know. Mm. The old days, all the junks. And I took a sampan to the outer roads. The ship is called Anhui, an old ship. And I got there as a deck passenger to save money. Mm-hmm. We could not afford to go in the cabin. Mm-hmm. And so we stayed on the deck, my wife and three children. Mm-hmm. Those are what our canvas beds, huh? Mm-hmm. We spread there. Mm-hmm. And my aunt in China, she was a missionary in Yingchun. At Amoy, Xiamen, she was there to receive us. So we sailed from Singapore to Xiamen and landed there. And she said, "I'll take good care of your family." She was a missionary and she was working in Yingchun, that is interior China. Mm. Not interior, but off the coast, about maybe 100 miles in. Mm-hmm. And so we went there and left my wife and two children there. I took my son, and we are going to Shanghai, and I'm going to leave my son there in Shanghai to my aunt, and I'm going to take a river boat to Chongqing. That's how weird the arrangement. It's a very flimsy arrangement.
And can you explain it today, why you had such a flimsy arrangement?
I was quite reckless. I said, "Well, anyway, trust the Lord. We will just go." Abraham not knowing where he's going, so I'm also like that. Abraham not knowing where I'm going. And then my aunt said, "You're crazy. You have to go to Chongqing, 2,500 miles. You've got to take over a month to sail. Why wouldn't you go to Nanking? That's just only 150 miles from Shanghai." My aunt was in Shanghai, you see, right. Married. "You go and hear Dr. Chia Yuming. You'll find him to be tops." So I went to hear him. I got converted right away. So I did not go to Chongqing.
You went to Shanghai.
Then I went to Nanking. I was in Shanghai where my aunt was. And Dr. Chia came to Shanghai to preach. Exactly, I arrived, he came. So when I heard him, I was converted. So I went to Nanking.
Ramatou, I don't quite understand. When you went to China, did you not already have in mind exactly where you wanted to go and where you want to study?
That's right, Chongqing, it is
right.
Settled. But when I came to Shanghai, the Lord diverted my steps.
Right.
Why you want to go 2005 inland when 150 miles from Shanghai is Nanking? You can study here. Right. So when I went to hear Dr. Chia, I was converted, right? He is such a powerful preacher. Mm-hmm. So I went to Nanking, and a son I brought to Shanghai stayed with my aunt. And then after the first year, I came out, and my aunt also wanted to visit our people. So we sailed back to Singapore, myself with my son and my aunt. But the third aunt, the young aunt who took care of my wife and two children in Xiamen, she had bought them a ticket on another boat to send them back because my wife and they got stuck, and we all separated. So they were repatriated before we came back. So finally, I came back to Singapore, and then from there, from Singapore, I took a boat originally from Penang to New York, 42 days, 1947.
Immediately after?
Yeah, yeah. So that's how I went to America to study, 47. I arrived there in January 1948, late for school already. Mm. But I studied until 1950, May. Mm. When I got my degree, then I came back to Singapore and served until now.
So you're talking in terms of from China to America, and again, this was something that was unplanned for?
I was led by the Lord in a very fantastic, marvelous way. How somehow the Lord was leading, I did not know. But suddenly the door opened for me to go to America because I was studying in Nanking. And there's a missionary there in the school who said, "You are English educated. I think it's better for you to go to America." And then she gave me a catalog, Faith Seminary, and I like it very much. I write there, and then they return. They said, okay, I give you a scholarship. And then I went to America.
Reverend, what about in terms of financial providence?
Financial providence, again, it is a marvelous thing. I had 2,000 Hong Kong dollars with me when I left Singapore. In those days, Hong Kong dollars was quite big, maybe worth 50 or 60 cents, 2,000. But I got cheated. The $2,000 was reduced to only 1/10, cheated by a friend of my aunt. But the Lord must take away all props that have got nothing to trust in Him. So finally, when I came back to Singapore, and I saw my wife, and we stayed together even for a few weeks. Then my sister gave me $400, US dollars, to buy a ticket, Penang to New York. If I sail from Singapore, it's $450. So to save the $50, I took a third-class train to Penang, and also visit my relatives along the way. Mm. So my sister financed me partly, with a small sum, not very much. Then I got to America. Then from there, I learned to trust the Lord, and He provided for me. Occasionally, my sister would send me some money, not too much. But that was a good training. I was able to subsist until I graduate. And then I came back in a very glorious way. I came back by way of Europe. The ICC movement was just started. You know the ICC? Mm-hmm. International Council of Christian Churches. Mm-hmm. And I was very zealous in the movement. So I got a free trip from New York to Geneva, to London. From there, went down to Geneva. Then after the Congress, I had a visit to Holy Land too. The Lord opened. That's marvelous in those days. And I went to Egypt and bought a cargo boat ticket. We on a cargo boat that sailed back to Singapore. Mm. That's how it is. Mm.
I noticed from your sharing that many times you're separated from your family.
That's right.
How did the family cope with this?
Well, that is where the tears are there. And I told my wife, I said, if I don't go and study in America, I have no training, I cannot do any work. So she agreed. So while we were separated 3 years away from home in America, and she was there, so she, under my sister's tutelage and teaching, she went to train as a midwife, and she passed. And so the children were under her, and she had to earn a living as a midwife while I was studying abroad. And so here the anomalies come in. One of my sons sort of played truant, did not want to go to school like that, without fatherly care. And so today he is earning a living by himself. But because at that point where I was not at home, he deviated and did not study hard, they say. So now he's a security guard and just earning his own living. That is the failure there. So there are sacrifices and there are difficulties in the family as a result of the separation. But I do not want to blame the Lord. I mean, this is part of the price you have got to pay.
Okay.